It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, at least they stopped a government shutdown, so we got that going for us. President Biden signed a continuing resolution Thursday night, just hours before the deadline, that'll keep the government funded through December 3rd. It also includes $6.3 billion to help Afghan refugees resettle in the U.S. and another $29 billion for disaster relief. But still hanging out there? The debt ceiling, which must be raised by October 18th in order to avoid a catastrophic default, which is apparently what the Republicans want. Go figure. Then there's the infrastructure package. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi insisted there would be a vote on Thursday on the BIF, until there wasn't. Reportedly, the speaker spent most of the day working with the White House to come up with a framework to pass the president's full Build Back Better agenda, both the BIF, the hard infrastructure bill, and the reconciliation package, trying to satisfy both Manchinima, or is it Cinemanchin, and the Progressive Caucus. Sources say that progress was made, but they're not quite there yet. Pelosi again insisted that the House will vote on the BIF on Friday. In a Thursday night call, Pramila Jayapal, the chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, encouraged her members to hold firm and not accept any kind of Build Back Better framework before the Senate actually votes on a bill. She stressed a point that the mainstream corporate media, in its efforts to vilify the progressives, simply will not report. And that is that even at this point, neither the White House nor Democratic leadership are asking the progressives to drop their demands and back a standalone vote on the BIF. That indicates that the White House believes the pressure is necessary in order to retain the leverage to get the full package passed. One big revelation on Thursday, though, Senator Joe Manchin revealed a document that both he and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer signed back in July that spells out Joe Manchin's top line number in order to get his support for that Build Back Better bill. It was $1.5 trillion and included a few other ridiculous demands. But the takeaway here is Chuck Schumer knew Manchin's position 2 months ago, but insisted on saying that the obstructionist senator wouldn't give a top-line number. Meanwhile, Politico is reporting that Pelosi's latest offer to Manchin was a top-line of $2.1 trillion, broken into three sections: family care, health care, and climate change. They still got a long way to go. In COVID news, it appears that vaccine mandates are working. Several states are seeing very high compliance rates and increased vaccination rates as vaccine mandate deadlines approach. But of course, there's also pushback. Some public school teachers in New York asked the Supreme Court to block New York City's vaccine mandate for in-person staff that was set to go into effect on Friday, October 1st. But as usual, the corporate media keeps burying the lead and amplifying the wrong message, Mehdi Hasan explains.
This Washington Post article headlined, North Carolina hospital system fires about 175 workers in one of the largest ever mass terminations due to a vaccine mandate. Wow, that sounds like a lot. But read a few lines in and you see what should have been the headline. Novant Health said that more than 99% of the system's 35,000 employees have followed the mandatory vaccination program. And check out this headline from The Hill. 39 quit Kansas City area health system over vaccine mandate report. Uh-oh, sounds like those mandates are causing big problems down there in Kansas City. Until you read three sentences in and see that the people who quit are less than 1% of all staff. 99% complied with the mandate, less than 1% quit. I mean, I'm no mathematician, but isn't that an almost 100% success rate?
Some encouraging news, the pharmaceutical company Merck announced that they've developed a new antiviral pill to treat COVID-19. They say their clinical trial found it will cut the risk of hospitalization and death in half. Merck plans to ask for emergency authorization as soon as possible. As the Supreme Court is set to begin their next term on Monday, the first Monday in October, Justice Brett Kavanaugh on Thursday night tested positive for COVID-19, but is reportedly without symptoms of any illness. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said in a memo to Immigration and Border Agency officials on Thursday that officers could no longer deport migrants just because they're undocumented. This is big. Mayorkas said new guidelines call for ICE officers to focus on arresting and deporting only people deemed to pose a threat, such as terrorism, espionage, or other serious crimes. Under these new guidelines, ICE officers cannot arrest and deport undocumented immigrants who have been contributing members of their communities, including faith leaders, farm workers, or frontline health workers. But unfortunately, we end on a sour note. Your mail service will get slower and more expensive beginning now, the beginning of October. And you can thank the former guy for that, as Louis DeJoy, his pick for Postmaster General, is still in that position and is implementing his 10-year plan, ironically called Delivering for America. In addition to slowing down first-class mail delivery times while raising the postage for a first-class stamp from 55 to 58 cents, the Postal Service also dropped its on-time delivery targets. That's the percentage at which it says mail should arrive on time, to the lowest point in recent history. Hashtag Fire DeJoy. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.